That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers this Saturday morning, August 6th, 2022. July is gone. Here we are into August. Full bore summer. That's good. It is good that those times come in order. That's for sure. We welcome you here. We've got a full crew this morning. Let's bring everybody on. Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we'll just go in order. Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Tim, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, way up north. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we do. We say good morning to you. Welcome. Whether you're in Alaska, pretty early up there this morning, or Florida, East Coast, wherever. We know that all over the country. And on the internet, all over the world, that you're joining us this morning. We say good morning to you. Hopefully you have some good hot coffee and your Bible. And where we go from there, who knows? We're going to open up with prayer, and we'll just see where it goes from there. And so, Jason, we'll look to you for that this morning.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. And we ask, Father, that you just continue to be with your remnant and protect us and keep us safe. And, Father, we lift up the remnant across this country and this world to you. And we just ask, Father, for you to just do your work and let your people be a blessing to you. Allow us to be the blessing that we need to be to you. And we ask for more of that Holy Spirit. And we ask, Father, that you war with those that war against us and that you deal with those as you see fit. Our enemies are your enemies. And, Lord, we just call upon you to identify them and to take action and to deal with them, Father. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And we just lift up our hands and give you thanks for these things. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we'll have the phone lines open for you Saturday morning. It is a live radio program this morning. And the number to call, 307-745-5913. And we'd be glad to take your call. And we'll start way down south. Josh, what you got to start off with us this morning?
Well, a start, a new start. I was just this morning contemplating the blood of Christ and how we contact that blood through baptism, and what a merciful God that we've got that has so much patience to not give up on us, and for us to be able to come to Him again and again and ask for forgiveness and have that slate to be cleaned. And He does it. And He does it because He loves us. And, you know, just as the sun rises in the morning, that's the start of a new day. You know, we can have that new chapter in our lives through that continuous contact with the blood, through that walk with Christ. And I'm not saying that you can, that there are not consequences of sin. Whenever you continue to sin, there are consequences, and we got to deal with them. But there is also true forgiveness. And just how important that is, especially today, because, you know, the more you do, the more you're going to make mistakes. And as Christian soldiers, we should be doing a lot right now. We should be working the field. And you know, sometimes they'll say things that didn't come out just right, or I'll just make mistakes for being human. Just how important it is that we forgive ourselves and don't let that be a stumbling block and have it to hold us back and tie us down and be a burden that keeps us from being productive servants in the kingdom, because we hold on to things of yesterday. We need to get up each morning as a new morning and fellowship with God and start over with our head held high, claiming the promises of the kingdom and working on those fruits of the Spirit.
That's a good point. You know, I mean, this is the day that the Lord has made, and, you know, we need to rejoice in it. And, you know, just like the song says, and there's a lot of times when people hold themselves back just because, and when a lot of times when they're doing that, they're putting themselves above God. And God can forgive you for something, but you don't forgive yourself. Where does that put you in relationship to God? And who's the one that's really in control? It's a humbling thought, and but a good thought. Yeah, I appreciate that, Josh. You know, there's so many things that are going on in the country today. I saw this, what's happening over there in the Deutschland. Dutch farmers protest are, you know, dismantled with police batons. And basically over there in the Dutch farmers, they have had, they put a mural on a wall with an upside-down Dutch flag and with a big sign that said, "No farms, no foods." And it was their mayor, I don't even know how to pronounce his name or her name, Arjen Gersten, basically said that they needed to move it. So the big headlines was is, you know, the police go in with batons and break up the farmers and dismantle this mural that was on the wall near the town hall. And you know, the thing is I just laughed because let me tell you something, if those farmers didn't want those cops to take it down, they wouldn't have taken it down. You look at the pictures. I mean, these farmers were big tough farmers. And they outnumbered those police probably 3-1. So it was they had a peaceful protest, but it didn't have to turn out so peaceful. But that's what's going on over there. It's, you know, these farmers are basically they understand, and a lot of the people understand that no farms, no food. But the farms are being attacked, and they're being shut down. And it's basically war. And that's what's taking place over there. And the same thing's happening over in Germany. In Germany, the people that are stockpiling firewood right now and pellets because of the energy crisis is is just amazing. It's through the roof. The sawmills, the people that are cutting firewood are completely sold out, and the pellet mills are running at full production, more than they ever have in their history. And there's people that are taking out their furnaces and putting in pellet stoves, or adding pellet stoves, adding wood stoves, because they see the writing on the wall is an energy crisis because of the war on Ukraine and Russia, where a lot of their oil is coming from, gas and oil, heating oil, what they're used to heating their houses with. And it's war. It's acts of war. It's just like what you hear about during World War I and World War II, and energy crisis and food crises.
Yeah, and I do believe our enemy definitely does have a good understanding of the fact of no farms, no food, and hungry folks are a lot more easy to sway to your opinion or your mindset than the ones that are fat and happy, as the saying goes.
And that's what, going back to even the Reagan days, that's when, Reagan was asked, I've heard it from several people, but I heard it from a man that was there listening to him live, and Reagan was asked, he said, will the government ever come and confiscate our firearms? You can see that in our future. And he said, no, we won't have to confiscate them. We'll be trading them in for food. People will be trading them for food without hesitation. So it has been something that's been discussed for a long time.
Well, and with everything happening, all the current events of the loss of all the production facilities and the farms and the droughts and cattle prices and everything that's going on, I'm hoping folks see the handwriting on the wall and swap over to a different system, because we're heading in the direction of those shortages. It can't keep going like this.
Yeah, the mode that they use, or that they constantly proliferate as far as the in control bunch right now, is the fact that it's a crisis management type scenario, and I just wonder sometimes. And I know some people see it, and that's awesome, but they constantly jump from one crisis to the next so that they can manage to be needed or be necessary or have control over the issue. First it's COVID, and then it's COVID Delta, and then it's monkeypox, and then it's a water shortage or a heat shortage or global warming, or just pick one. There's actually a list out there if you want to go look it up. There's constantly this stirring of people into a sentiment of crisis and of a panic, and the reason for that is you're back to that old fight and flight thing. They'd rather keep you in flight because they don't want to fight, so they're going to constantly keep people off their feet, and whether it's real or made up or coming soon to a town near you, though, is a new crisis. So, and that seems to be the way they operate. They just constantly are, and that causes people to look toward them as a relevant god to protect, save, or it empowers them. And when people, that's why prayer, that's why faith, that's why those things are so very, very important today, is because when we turn to God, we turn away from them. That's the part that brings us out of her. It brings you out of their trade, their power structure. So we really need to kind of really ties into what you said earlier, Josh, as far as the blood and the power of Jesus. We have that refuge, and the Bible uses that word often. Enter the rock. I am a refuge in a time of storm. There's all these, well, if you don't use him for that, then you're using something else. And some of those other lifeboats have really big leaks. So
that's right. That's right. Fearful. Our people don't understand, but our enemy does, that fearful people are easy to manipulate. When we have an enemy that trains our people in this, like you said, Tim, this crisis management. It's one thing to next, to where the people are thinking, well, what's coming next? What's coming next? And what is the government going to do about it? Oh, these rising fuel prices. What's the government going to do about it? Food shortages. What's the government going to do about it? The people are fearful, and so they are easy.
Now, Richard, I gotta correct you on that. The government has nothing to do with rising fuel prices. They can lower fuel prices.
They can only lower them.
They can't bring them up.
They take them up $2. They triple them, and then drop them 20 cents and take credit for that, for the drop in 20 cents. Yeah, but. But they understand that fearful people are easy to manipulate. They are. What our people need to realize, and what our enemy does, is that faithful people are not easy to manipulate. You know, the crime. Our brother there in, where was it? Was it Wisconsin, Minnesota, that took out the shooter, 8 out of 10? Just a couple weeks ago, he was not relying. He was, and it hasn't been mentioned, but I would bet you he's more of a faithful person than a fearful person. Because the media has all but dropped. They won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It just disappeared. And when those things happen, they certainly don't want to push and promote it because it's people standing up for themselves. Farmers market yesterday afternoon in Laramie here. It runs, I think, July through September. And it was raining like we haven't had rain in I don't know how long. It was great. It was a great rain. And the people were still there walking through buying things. It looked like all the stalls were full. They couldn't have taken any more vendors. And people are seeing and doing that, taking you know, not just trusting the food to be at the grocery store, but if they're not growing it, they're going there and getting it from the producer. And that's, a result of, like you mentioned, Jason, those in Germany stocking up firewood and pellets. They see what's happening. They may not understand all the players, but they do. I think the Holy Spirit is moving and people are seeing that these things are changing. Saw an interesting article this morning, and it was mentioned. It's actually a report from a war correspondent, photojournalist, retired U.S. Army Special Forces veteran, and I went to school with the guy back in my hometown in Central Florida a few years ago, but his name's Michael Yon, and not a religious type of reporter in any way, but a photojournalist specializing in war. He is a retired U.S. Army Special Forces. He's got a couple of books out. I've got them. One of them is Danger Close, and a couple of them, they kind of point not from a anti-globalist viewpoint, I guess I would say. And that's his headlines. He had an interview with Jordan Peterson last week, and he's saying globalists are driving what he calls the triangle of death: pandemic, famine, and war. And he says it's the triangle of death. He says you always have it. If you get a big war or a big pandemic or a big famine, you're going to get the other two. You know, our enemy understands that. He calls them the three musketeers, these three things that go together. And the pandemic, the famine, and the war. And we've seen all three of those being pushed and promoted recently, if not for the last 50 years. I thought an interesting thing that he said here. He says there's also the information war, which is the PhD level of warfare. And that's the components that you must study if you're going to be a serious student of war. And those are migration, pandemic, and famine. And anyway, this guy, I followed him, Michael Yon, Y-O-N, usually he does a lot over in the Middle East, in Taiwan, in the Philippines, in Japan, reports a lot from over there. He was really pointing out, too, especially for famine. He says here, the largest famines are always caused not by locusts and drought. They're caused by people, governments, taking advantage of these things, like the Holodomor in 1932 and 1933 in Ukraine. And we talked a little bit about that over the last couple of weeks. The book, Execution... Execution by Hunger, I think is what it's called. And it's what Stalin did in the Ukraine in the 1932 and 1933, where he killed, starved out, either shot or exported or literally starved out the farmers in the Ukraine. And I think it's interesting that that is coming up more and more in different... different avenues or different places in the reporting of news and the research and stuff. It's more and more people seeing this handwriting on the wall that that's what's happened, especially over there, like you said, Jason, in the Dutch land. The Danes are not having it. The Dutch farmers there saw a thing this morning. They're firing up, literally lighting the roads on fire and protesting these things that are happening, and it's the government, like they've done here, driving out the farmer, making the local farmer where you can't compete, you can't make money, you can't be a farmer or a rancher, I'll add, and make your mortgage payment. It's just not. And then on the other hand, what do we see? People like Ted Turner and old Bozo and all that, you know, buying up farmland like crazy. China buying up farmland. It's absolute insanity, but it's a repeat of what Stalin did in the Ukraine in 1932, 1933. Look that book up if you can still find it. Execution by Hunger, I think is what it's called. I mentioned it, I think, last week. I don't have the book in here with me. We don't carry it on the ministry. That sure might be one we might look into to try to get them. But it's true stories of that. It's heartbreaking to read, but it's factual. And it is what the communists did in the Ukraine in 32 and 33. And it sure seems like they're right back on that same plan once again.
They could never carry it out if people had faith. You know, I mean, when this pandemic started, you know, I wasn't fearful at all, because God said the day I'm going to die, the point, and he counts the hairs on my head. And I said, if you have that kind of faith, you don't worry about this kind of stuff. But it's just amazing how easy the people were herded into this crap. You know, they run around with masks on and, you know, fearful and everything. But the Bible says, whom you fear is whom you serve. And these people don't know what God has to say. They just don't know. I just went to coffee the other morning, guys. I come in a little late because I had some bury a coon or something, but anyway, he's where were you reading your Bible, you know? So, and I've never had a discussion with him like that, but you know, he knows where I stand.
Sure.
And you know, sometimes silence works good. You know, you run in your mouth all the time don't work so good. When I get a person asking questions, then you got somebody that you need, and people got to say, what is going on here? And I think people are starting to think that. But the last place you will learn this stuff is in the local steeple house. I mean, they don't talk about it. They're all paid up, prayed up, and ready to go, you know. But we're commissioned to take dominion in a local thing. You know, I talked to the other day. We've had 8 out of 9 commissioners that were flipped in this town county that I live in. Now, that's a really good sign, because it's not status quo no more. Now, these
I know Zach talked to one of these girls. She says, I don't have all the answers, but what's going on isn't right, you know. So, I mean, that's a really good
attitude.
That's the attitude
that they got to have.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
Well, and I heard after talking with Zach, too, I don't mean to interrupt you, Paul, but that, you know, that there was a lot of career politicians that were in there that were going to end up getting their pension if they would have went one more term. And I don't know if that was right there. I think that was in Ottawa County.
That's right.
But
that's right.
The people just had enough, and they said that, you know, they were done with the way that they handled the schools and the policies and the mask policies and the mandates and just basically everything, and they threw them all out. And you know, some of these guys would have been on the you know, the government pension plan for life after if they would have been in there for this next term, and people just said no, they were done with it, and it was just people that common people that ended up taking the place of those career politicians.
And that's very common that you say that, Jason. It is. We're seeing that over and over, that just common people are coming in, business owners. We're seeing that here in Laramie. You're seeing it down there with that Lauren Boebert that ran for Congress and got in. Just a mom, a wife, a restaurant owner, and fed up, and ran, and can quote scripture, and carries a pistol, and carried it into Washington when she went there. And it's just these normal people. We've got businessmen here in Laramie doing the same thing that are running, that are, you know, people are fed up. They're realizing. And why is that happening? Well, the high inflation, the high cost, it's hitting them in the pocketbook. And people are realizing, these businessmen are realizing they can't operate anymore under these undue and unneeded rules of government. Paul?
I forgot.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
One of the things, go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead.
You know, that we were talking about this, and we were talking about this years ago, you and I were, but, you know, I mean, taking stuff back at a county level, county by county, you know, getting involved in your city council meetings and stuff. I mean, people want to complain about everything that city council is doing, but how many people actually go to their city council meetings and tell what they think? I started going to city council meetings quite some time ago, and it's been really interesting of how easy it is to change people's minds on something, and you just say something right. I mean, people are just used to going with the flow. And you get people. I know that when I started going to these city council meetings, it was people none of them were from around here. Most of them were from California or, you know, different parts of the country that moved in, and all of a sudden they want things their way. They move out to the country and they leave the ways of California away, and then they bring it with them. And not saying that it was just coming in from California, it was coming in from all over the world. We had some Chinese people that showed up that tried to boss people around. But it was sometimes you get up and you just say something and you'd be like, oh, that's a bunch of garbage, and, you know, we don't need laws to do that. And it's like, well, yeah, it just snaps people out of the spell, and all of a sudden that they start thinking again, and it's like, yeah, you're right, we don't need that, that's a bunch of garbage. And you know, but it's you know, on a local level, that's where, you know, people need to get involved. You can't complain about the way things are if you're not trying to change it, if you're not trying to get involved and trying to stop it.
Exactly right. If you start at the base or the foundation, which is the county level or the grassroots level or whatever word you want to put on it, it affects change up to the top fairly quickly. I mean, you know, it only takes, if you do construction or something, it only takes a 2-degree change at the base of something to change it several inches at the top, you know, if it's very long or very tall. You can create a massive change just through that. And I think that when we see that, well, you talk about people doing that, I guess one of the things I just found out, and maybe you guys had already heard about it, I don't know, but HBO Max just collapsed. They're folding up. they're folding up their, they're going to lay over 75% of their, or 70% of their workforce off and everything else, because nobody's subscribing, nobody's paying, nobody's participating. And it's one of those things, and that's HBO Max. You know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that a television station or something?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's one of their one of the, you know, HBO franchises. But isn't that, and that's a grassroots thing. You know what made it collapse is the fact that all the little individuals down here went, I don't need that anymore, and I'm not subscribing to it. You know, that's trash. They got, and you know, one of the sayings that's going around is what, you know, get woke, go broke, you know. So we've seen that with multiple retailers across the country, everything from Dick's Sporting Goods to this, to people are voting with their pocketbook. You know, they're like, I'm not going to spend any money on that. And you know, it's a situation there when we really look at it that we've got 2% of the population trying to extort or convince the other 98% that, you know, this needs to be done this way or this needs to be done that way. Or I was reading an article here just the other day, and they said, they were talking about China. China's in real trouble. I don't know. Nobody's really talked about it, but they're having economic crises. They've got major demonstrations going on in the street. They're economically speaking about to collapse. I mean, in the article I was reading, the guy was drawing a lot of similarities to right before the Soviet Union collapsed. A lot of similarities there. But the point is that that's when they're the most dangerous because the economic war is always their answer to everything. Anytime there's a big problem, we need a war. That'll fix everything. That'll fix us up economically. That'll take care of that'll unify the people. And so that's what that's part of the reason they're dangerous. But the issue there with these things falling left and right is I think that salvation's all around us, but they want to talk about the fact, well, we just did a poll and America doesn't have any heart for this or doesn't have, but they're polling their own group. it means nothing, you know. If somebody likes roast beef and I go out and poll the Roast Beef Lovers Association and ask them if they all like something else, and the answer is no, it's like, see? And it's like, well, what would you expect? You didn't poll the right group. You didn't poll the whole to get an idea what's going on. So it's funny to me how and it's an answer to prayer, and I think it's right there, but they're very careful to keep it hidden from us so that, like they're already saying, so you stay fearful, so you stay enslaved to that system. You know, it's like, well, it's not that way, and it is changing, and God does sit on the throne, and he will remember his people in the time of judgment against the evildoers. So I want to be one of those people. Of his.
Amen.
You know, when the Saxon begins to say, hey, crap hits the fan, and you know, I think the Saxon is waking up. The law is written in his heart, and they kind of know what's right and what's wrong, you know. And the thing of it is, we've left this whole thing go to our politicians to dictate. We've had it really easy. We haven't had to go to the township meetings. We should have, but we didn't. You know, and we're getting more involved in that government again. And when it's back, you see, the book says all authority has been given to the church. So everything that's going on with these, our enemy, is your sure power because of our idolatry. It's the only way they have any power over us. And we're coming back to the basics. You know, when you got to gather your firewood and get your food at the local market, I mean, that's really a good sign. Because Babylon's going down. You know, our Revelation 18, cut yourself off from Babylon, you don't suffer sudden and swift destruction. And I really think that separation is a mental separation primarily. All the things that I've tried along the line, it just didn't work. It's a mental separation that we have to come out of Babylon, because she's going down, and that's a good thing. But see, like China and Russia, I realize our Federal Reserve note is the dollar's been the standard forever. Well, there's nothing behind that dollar. And China and Russia are seeing this, and they're going back to the ruble, the gold standard. And they'll sell stuff to Europe, but they want to be paid in gold.
Yes.
They have taken on the Federal Reserve. I've seen a quote from the big guy in Germany, that the financier, he said, this was back in the 1700s, he said, I could care less what puppet you put in the throne of Britain that has a empire that the sun never sets on, but he who controls the money controls the land. He says, I control Britain. And this was in 1700 he said that. And then 1913, they've got into our economics, but this whole thing is a paper castle. But the thing of it is, I think if you read Colonel Moore's book, Devil's Children and the German Connection, that was a fight for a banking system, what it was, because they had a non-interest using banking system. They were prospering like crazy, but it took two world wars to knock them down. They were tough people. And we helped knock them down, you see, but we took it to our own destruction, of which we aren't supposed to fight against a brother, and they are. And what Colonel Moore says, they're the tribe of Gad. And I guess that's true, because Britain is Judah. And this is all about economics, and they know how to destroy people, their livelihood. And you get that Range magazine, Richard, and you can't believe some of the stuff in there, how they're after the West and just take it over and use environmental things to drive the farmer off the land and condemn their land and steal it. And this is rampant. And the end of the Bible says all power has been given to the church, and we have the power, and they have just usurped it because of our idolatry. We have let them have it, and it's time to, it's action to begin to hate. And it's okay to hate. Jesus isn't just love. He gets a little ticked off now and then and kills a few people, bring them to my feet and slay them. Well, that's right. A real loving person, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. God hates. The Bible talks about the seven things God hates. Six, yea, seven. And to love God is to hate evil. And that part of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been done away with. Yeah, the more you look at the those in government, the worse it gets, and people are seeing it more and more. They are. Our representative here in Wyoming, Liz Cheney, I would not be surprised. I would say my thoughts are she will definitely be voted out this year. That sure seems to be the way the public sentiment is going. And a quote from her this morning. She says voters are ready for a woman to run things. She may just seek the nomination for president or vice president. And talking about being, it's like they say these things to try to speak them into being. But I think she's just as far away from reality as you can be. But it's how these Democrats, how these rhinos, how these ungodly in authoritative positions, it's how they think it is. The laws that they... go ahead.
Well, how much more removed from everything y'all are talking about, responsibility, the situation, speaking up, any kind of work in general, how much more of a mindset can you have to remove somebody from any responsibility of that if you just tell them that this world's not their own and that, we're just waiting on a boat to sail out of here?
That's right.
The rapture rocket's coming and it's going to get us. And so, I'm not worried about any of this. And that's what, Paul talking about the truth in the churches, it ain't there. And if anybody's listening this morning, this still holding on to that old thought process and mentality, that'd be your number one action item there, is to look into that false doctrine that is so destructive and paralyzing and costs you everything.
That's right. It's just the opposite of what the Bible says. The rapture doctrine is just opposite. The Bible just a quick synopsis, always, it's always the evil that are removed. It's just as simple as that. The tares in the wheat, it's the tares that are wiped out. The wheat's not taken out so the tares can just grow unabated or unhindered. No, it's at the time of harvest the tares are removed. When it's the one is taken, the two are in the field, the one is, it's not the righteous that are taken away. That concept is never in the Bible. It's always, right, to persevere, to endure, to work until I come, right? To be the good steward, that when the master returns, no matter what time it is, that the steward is there working and doing and prepared and ready and not attending Tuesday night rapture practice. It's you're absolutely right, Josh. It's a neutering, whatever you call it, concept, religion, belief, theology. It is. It's just going to get worse and worse here until we get raptured out. That's just, you know, that's not biblical. It's not of Christ. It really isn't. Well, Remnant, we've got a few minutes left. The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you have a comment. Floods again. Death Valley National Park, substantial floods leave 1,000 staff and guests stranded. Now think about that. Do you know why they call it Death Valley? Because it's a desert. And it's hard for life to exist there. It does, but it's hard. And they're having substantial floods. Some of the pictures, massive flooding. Cars buried in debris up to their to the top of their tires. Roads just completely wiped out. You know, part of Vegas flooded last week. And didn't make big headlines, but they I saw pictures, casinos flooded out. Years ago, we've attended the broadcasters convention in Vegas a couple times. We did that years ago, and Jason and Pastor, myself, and a few others. And you know, when you fly into Vegas, it's like a big bowl. There's like a mountain ridge all the way around it, and flying out of there, I thought, you know, that'd be about the best thing for Vegas, it seems like. Let it flood. Seems like it'd be a great fishing hole if it was just full of water. And but we're seeing, and we've been talking about it, not that we just always want to talk about nothing but the weather, but as Paul, as you've mentioned time and time again, the changes, the extremes that we're seeing, these things are not normal. They're changes. Yellowstone flooded out and was closed this summer. It's all creation groaning and crying out. I really, that's my thought on it. That it's our merciful God saying, hey, listen, these things are happening, and I control the weather. I control the flood, whether you get water or not. And I, you know, we are right on the edge of, as I've mentioned before, the area that feeds the Colorado River Basin, and south of us and west of us is actually what feeds us. We're right on the edge of it, but the snowpack into what feeds it is about 25% to 50% less than the norm it was this past winter, and that equates out to right now. That much less water flowing into that, into the southwest United States. And we're just getting started in water shortages for places like the southern half of California and Vegas and Lake Mead and Lake Powell. Lake Mead is already dried up. Jason and I were talking about it last week. The bodies that they're finding in barrels and concrete and things like that are the things that were hidden are coming to light in the physical and in the spiritual as well.
Yeah, one of the things that I was reading, been following, Daily Wire's been putting out some really good stuff lately, as far as conservative good news. But they just came out with part three on how Merriam-Webster's is redefining words to fit a leftist agenda. And I just wanted to tell people too, you know, as part of preparing for stuff, you know, we carry the Webster's 1828 dictionary in print. Now, it's online. You can use it free online if you just type in Webster's 1828 dictionary. And it is a good dictionary. It was, you know, it was built on Christian foundations, Christian principles, and it's completely different. After that, they really changed it a lot. But any of these new dictionaries, especially anybody with children, I would encourage them to get one of those Webster's 1828 and have it on hand and use that as a dictionary, because these the way that they're changing everything, and you know, and I was thinking about it, and it's, you know, it's just exactly what Christ warned us about. You know, beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the ones that were putting that stuff together, and they're doing, there's nothing new under the sun. They're doing the same thing today. Basically, the Daily Wire is there on part three right now of it, of going through and just seeing the words that have changed from 2020 to 2022 in the last 2.5 years. It's obvious, you know, that, I mean, just changing the definition, you change the definition of a word, you know, it changes our language, it changes everything about it. And, you know, they go into everything from race to sexuality to homosexuality to a lot of words that you'd have to look in a dictionary just to find them, because I'd never even heard them before. Words that, you know, generally people don't even use, but they're adding this stuff in, they're changing the meanings of words, and something to be aware of. But really want to encourage anybody with children, anybody that uses something, you know, a dictionary is a good tool to teach people, to teach young people about stuff. I mean, we always had one homeschooling and even in the Christian schools, and it's something that's been around for a long time, but it's a really good dictionary. I do encourage everybody to get those. We do have those available, and if you'd like to get one, just get in touch with the office.
Amen. And it's interesting, you know, how Pastor always taught that the rules of warfare, the enemy has to tell you what they're doing, right? And they either have to tell you what they're doing or what they want to do. And that, in the book 1984 by George Orwell, the main character, his job was, among countless others, but his job was to go back and do that very thing, Jason, to go back and change the archives, to because it was all electronic, to go back and change the definitions. If they had a national hero, a general that was just, you know, that they had all this history about, and then he fell out of favor with the party, or with Big Brother, is how they talk about it, and Big Brother executed him and got rid of him, they'd have people go back and change the archives, change the history, and take any reference to him out. And we see that, you know, we see, we're in the greatest recession this country's ever had so far. And they go back, we see these, whatever they call them, truth fact checkers, whatever, go back and change the definition of recession, as an example, that no, this not at all. It's everything is good. The White House says, this is the best economy we've ever had. It is if you are a destroyer. But our enemy does that. They tell us what they're going to do, and now they're doing it. Talk about prophecy coming true. It is, and because that's what our enemy does. They follow those rules of warfare. I would encourage you, find the book 1984 by George Orwell and reread it, even if you've read it. And you'll look and wonder if you're reading a book or if you're looking at the news broadcast. You really will. So I do. I encourage it, because the things that are in there are, they are just, they're part of society today. Anyway, it's we hear a lot of references to it. I you know, just like you hear references, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Well, go find out. Don't trust any of us to you know, without going and checking it out and seeing what it says for yourself. That has been mentioned here. You know, the don't trust that man behind the pulpit. Oh, you may listen to him, but then go check it out and see if that's what it says. Just like Jason and was mentioned earlier, you know, go to the county commissioner meeting. Tell you what, how about this for a challenge? Get a Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's a nice big thick thing. And take that to a county commissioner meeting. And when they start talking about some of this BS and these modern day definitions, take them back to the basics. Take them back to, you know, let them know, no, that's not what that means. This is what that means. And it's not the Bible, so it won't be as offensive. But, you know, set them straight on definitions. Anyway, it is what the enemy has been planning, I think, since the garden. But as Josh started out, we have victory in Christ and Christ alone. It is the blood of Christ. It is not raising your hand and leaving it at that. You know, saying the sinner's prayer is a good start. That might be somewhere to start, Remnant, but it's not the end. That's not the refuge. That's not the rock. That's not how you contact that blood of Christ that saves. That saves us not only from our sin and gives us salvation from our sin, but from the hands of those that hate us. I forget where it says that. I think it's in Psalms where that reference is. But it's salvation from the hands that hate you. And that is just, I mean, that thought, that concept is non-existent in the Judeo-Christian church.
Well, I think that the enemy sees that we're waking up, and it's a power play. It's now or never, you know, because they've kicked out all the stops. They're not even hiding it, and it's just now or never, because people are beginning to wake up. The alarm clock went off, and they're just starting to wake up, and I don't know where it's going, but the Saxon begins to hate. It's a really good thing, and just call it the way it is, because this is all wrong. Government has nothing to offer. It didn't take from somebody else, so you don't work, you don't eat. We got to go back to basics, because we have a real labor force shortage out there. There's just jobs everywhere, just begging for help, but there nobody wants to work. They're all in college getting stupid.
Well, I'm going add a little bit to that, Paul, and I agree with you 100%. The other thing I think that we look at is the, you know, there's always that esoteric thought in those things, and it's one of those things when you steal from the person who does work and should eat, and you rob from him, you're going to get the, you know, the judgment and the justice of a righteous God. And we've got a group out there that is doing that right now. I mean, there's people out there who do that, and in good faith they do work and stuff, and they're being robbed. I mean, they're being destroyed and stolen from, and God says, when they cry out to me, I'll hear them. Those people that are being robbed from, and they're starting to cry out, because basically there isn't anything left for them to do but cry out. But nevertheless, that's another aspect of that. You know, you guys don't want to work. You're not supposed to eat, but you can't steal it from the guy who does. You know, so
we need to be careful not to be double minded about all this, because we've been praying for this for 10, 20, some of us 50 years that their system will fall. You know, so we shouldn't turn and look back and want to go back there just because it's going to be uncomfortable to get to where we're supposed to be in God's system.
I would say the vast majority of people want to go back to before 2008 or whenever, you know, they just go back to there where they're comfortable. They don't really want to go across the sea and walk through the desert being fed by God, and they just want status quo and go back to, just like you said, and I'm pretty sure the majority of people would like to just go back and have it easy, but we're not going there. It's not a, it's not even an option. It's God's way or the highway is what's coming down, and our enemy is fighting for their life, too, you know. Can you imagine being one of the elite, like Clinton or Bush and a whole bunch of them, and everything they work for is absolutely nothing to their own destruction? I mean, that's my hope, is to survive. Well, I'm going to survive until I'm not here. I mean, that's just the fact of life, and that gives you confidence, too. They have no power over me that I don't give them. I know, lady says, the devil made me do it. I said, no, the devil didn't make you do it. You let him do it. You know, and that's the truth. He was beat at the cross, and he's a done deal, and he's fighting for his life, too. So you got to realize it. Yeah, they're just doing what they do naturally, steal, kill, and destroy. And they don't care who.
And they can't go any further than what God allows them to, because he is in control. He's in charge. He's still that same God that rained manna down. You know, I mean, that doesn't give us a pass not to have to have a garden and you know, to have some cattle, whatever your own. But in the end, he always provides for his people, always has.
Well, yeah, well, if you go back to when they quit, go ahead.
The devil's on a leash. He cannot do anything to you that you won't let him. So this is all idolatry that we're dealing with.
Exactly. And it requires some output on your part. The Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they had to walk out of there. You know, they had to put one foot in front of the other. Let's go. You know, and that's the part. And God definitely gave them plenty of pressure to push them out. They were, you know, time to leave. I mean, but we're looking at some of that. Can you put one foot in front of the other? You know, I mean, you know, and I use that verse in my own life, and a lot of times, and I can't think just off the top of my head suddenly where it's at, but it's like, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, there's times I don't have enough. But it's like, well, Lord, I'm moving out in what I've got. You'll have to give me some more as we go along. But I'm going. So that's the attitude we've got to have, and he'll provide it. You know, he will.
Amen. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. And Remnant, we'll be at church in the morning. We ask you to join us there at scripturesforamerica.org. We'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 rolling.